We'll turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1, as we continue our consideration in the morning services about the faithfulness of our Lord Jesus Christ, the faithfulness of God. Faith, we have faith in the Lord because He is faithful. And you know, that's the foundation of which that we can, sinners are able to trust the Lord, that He is faithful. You can count on Him. He is God, and He's solid. He never changes, never moves. And He has the power, and He is steadfast and sure in every way. As Brother Bobby read this morning, those that listen to the words of the Lord are wise in the Lord. Not wise, they're not self-conceited, not self-wise, but wise in the Lord, because the Lord's word is established, settled forever. They are as the wise building upon a rock. That just makes sense, doesn't it? To have a foundation. Those that ignore the word of the Lord and His way, they have no foundation. Their foundation is this earth, and the ultimate end of this earth, and the way of this world, and upon this earth is going to be certain doom and destruction. And so, hearing our Lord and looking to His faithfulness is a very, very important, essential thing. As we've gone through this consideration in Hebrews 4, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 3, the Scripture says, therefore, consider Him. And that's what we've tried to do in these. Consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, speaking of Christ, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. We need to be looking at the faithfulness of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to always be considering and knowing and learning about His faithfulness. We saw in Romans that the effectualness of God's faithfulness is not affected by us. It doesn't impact the Lord being faithful. Now, you and I, we can be discouraged by one another, things, circumstances, and all that. Our Lord is never discouraged. He's never changed from His way. And we see there also the righteousness of God by the faithfulness of Christ as the subject is introduced. In Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul makes a declaration, I don't want my righteousness, take that and throw that away. I want the righteousness of Christ. We saw in Galatians, not by my works of the law, but by Jesus' fulfillment of the law, His faithfulness for us, we have peace with God. In Ephesians 3, we saw about the boldness and the access with confidence by His faithfulness. He's done these things, and by that and what He's given to His children, we can be bold in our Lord. And it's not talking about being brash, but the Lord says we've got the claim in Him, and let us declare it. We have the claim. He's given us that boldness and access into our Lord. We can go to Him always in prayer and supplication for any and everything, and be confident that He hears us. Do you have that in your life? Boldness that you might have in self and self-will, sheer will, grit, and determination, it will fail. Because you know what? These old bodies fail. You know, youth is wonderful and youth is a blessing, but youth kind of lies about it going on, and youth doesn't go on. Things slow down and get old because these old bodies are dying. In Colossians, we saw about how we are buried with our Lord and His gospel, the operation of God to us. And in that operation, we are brought into that with Him, buried with Him, risen with Him by the same power, the same operation that raised up our Lord Jesus from the dead. Here in Philippians chapter 1, it wasn't too long ago that we just kind of did a survey of this chapter and seeing a theme that was in hand. And we were looking to see and understand in our series and our consideration about growing up in the Lord, about studying. And then this is a wonderful chapter because of the theme that is here in this chapter and in the book, but mainly in this chapter is found, we find it there in verse number 5, the fellowship in the gospel. There's a fellowship, a communion that the children of God have in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, in this chapter, in verse number 27, that's our subject for this morning. One verse for us to break down and consider, hear what our Lord is saying unto us, take and introspect about our own lives, and how is it that we line up with what our Lord tells us in this verse, the faithfulness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit and one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Let's pray. Father, we need your help this morning, and we thank you for every blessing. Lord, your help, your strength, your life that you've given unto us. We pray, Father, you'd break open your word unto us this morning. Help us to hear you and believe you and trust you in all that you say. And Lord, as your children, we'd grow up in you and be mature and diligent about what you've given us to do and pursue. Lord, help us to represent you and not bring a shame to you in any way. And Father, for those that are here today and not saved, we pray that you might break their stony hearts. You might break through that fog and of sin and depravity, those things that distract and delude and oppress, Father, that they don't even know it's happening with them, Father. We pray that you'd break through that, and Lord, you'd give them a heart of flesh and soften them and show them and open their eyes, open their hearts, open their ears to the truth of their need of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, save as you only can. We pray and ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Here, the apostle, he writes, our Lord writes unto us, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. And to be reminded of the gospel is always a good thing. In 1 Corinthians 15, we have a wonderful summary here about the gospel. And really, this is a starts off and kicks off with a summary of the gospel, and is the resurrection chapter is really a good way to know and understand about this chapter. So many verses, 58 verses in total, and the gospel is dealt with here early on, and then the rest of it speaking about the resurrection, doubt about the resurrection and the power and ability of God. How can it be? But by the power of the Lord, and indeed will be. The children of God have life now, and we have a promise, a no-so promise and hope of life to come in a physical body, like Brother Job has, and that we will be with our Lord and see him face to face. Yes, we'll have a face. We'll have a body. Which to be with our Lord, commune with our Lord, and serve and worship our Lord forever. It says here in 1 Corinthians 15, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. He's writing the church at Corinth there in Greece, and they've got a lot of trouble. I wonder about the church at Corinth, if we would even fellowship with them. I mean, they've got problems. You know, the Lord didn't give up on them. The Apostle Paul didn't give up on them. They drew near, and they taught them, instructed them, was a witness to them, indeed. And so he's reviewing this about the gospel. And listen to these words that are here. He said, I'm declaring it. I'm declaring this gospel. I've preached it unto you. You've received it. You stand in it. Verse 2, by which also you're saved. You're saved by it. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. There are vain believers. There are superficial believers. There are those that rejoice at the thought of being rescued and saved and all that, and then go on their merry way, living the same life that they always live. That happens. And so those caveats are always put in there many times in the Scripture to talk to church members that may not be church members. May not be saved unless you've believed in vain. Goes on here to say, for I delivered unto you, so he's delivered this gospel, first of all that which I also received, he received this gospel, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. It was prophesied in the Old Testament. And that he was buried because he was dead. And that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Here's the testimony and the proof of that. And he was seen as Cephas, that is the Apostle Peter, then of the 12, all the apostles. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. But some are fallen asleep in the Lord. Some have died and waiting for this resurrection that he's going to preach about in this chapter. We see here the gospel of our Lord Jesus. His death. He died. He, being the King of Glory, came and lived to die. In the prime of his life, he didn't live to be an old man. in the prime of his life, in the sweet spot of life, he died. Can you imagine willingly, you've got all the power of, that there is, that exists, and you can stop this thing that is happening as the Jews take you. The Lord proved that in the garden, didn't he? Trust you know that account. He had the power to make them fall backwards. They got back up and he yielded himself to them. He had the power to keep them from slapping him there in the Sanhedrin in the middle of the night, spitting upon him and hitting him and such. He had the power to stop that. He had the power to zap us all right there. He didn't. He's self-controlled. What self-control our Lord has. Long-suffering. He had the power to not let them take him to Pilate, but he let them take him to Pilate. And he there was questioned by Pilate and answered a few things. For the most part, he didn't say a word. He had the power to preach them in the ground. You know what I mean? By his word, he could have preached them all in the ground, but he didn't. He said the things that were necessary. He had the power to not be sent to Herod and made a mockery of and taunted by him. He didn't say a word over there. He had the power to not be taken back to Pilate. He had the power sitting there in the praetorium as Pilate meted out sentence against the Lord. He had the power to just stop and shut the thing down. He had the power when it was turned over to the guards and the centurion who mocked him and dressed him, plaited that crown of thorns upon his head, hit him with that reed that they put in his hand as a scepter, as a feigned faux scepter. He had the power as they gave him back his clothes and took the other apparel that was brighter off of him. And he had the power. He had the power to say, "No, I'm not going to where you say that I'm going." He had the power to go on and not submit himself to laying down on that cross. He had the power and the ability to prevent them from taking that and putting that pole there and hanging him between heaven and earth. He had the power to come down as they taunted him to come down. He didn't. He had the power, again, to wipe them all out. You know what? He had the power to go on back to heaven to be with his Father, but he didn't. You know what he did have and does have? He had the power to bear his people's sins alone there on the cross of Calvary. He used it. He did it. As a father, in the latter part of the day, from noon till 3 o'clock in the afternoon, as there was darkness upon the face of the earth, I think we see in that the Father turning his back on the Son. He had the power to bear our sins and pay for them, shedding his blood. He had the power to keep that body of his perfect body alive through all that abuse, and even the weight, the greatest of that, the weight and condemnation of our sin and the wrath of God poured out upon him, every payment for every transgression of the Lord's people, those that would believe upon him, he had the power to pay it right there. He used his power for that. He had the power to keep himself alive even after that, but he didn't use it that way. When it was all accomplished, when all the scripture was accomplished, everything was fulfilled, he gave up, yielded up the ghost. You and I can't do that. We can't hang on to our spirit. Our Lord did. He had the power to say when he was going to die. He had the power to come back to life immediately, but he didn't. He was laid there in the grave, and Brother David writes, so many years ago unto us, he laid him in the grave, but he was not like any other, his body was not like any other corpse, any other body ever laid in a grave, because our Lord did not decompose. He had the power, being dead, to keep his flesh, his body, from decomposing. He had the power to come out of the grave instantly, the first day, the second day. But you know what? He waited till the third day to show and prove that he was dead. It had been prophesied by the power, the declaration of God years ago that he would be in the grave. The testimony of Jonah is that way. The Lord takes that and shows that and makes that clear in the day of his ministry. You know what he had the power to do? He had the power to take his life back again. I tell you what, he's faithful, isn't he? Are you able to look at that and rejoice in that? Or as you look in that, look at that, does that trouble you? Your children of God whose hearts are not right, thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ, can trouble you. And you know, that's a good thing. It's a good thing to be troubled when we need trouble. Look at the Lord and His faithfulness for us. He could have been doing a multitude, a number of other things. But He was focused, wasn't He? He raised from the dead, and He came and sat at the right hand, or went to the Father, and I believe took His blood somehow by the power of God and placed it there in heaven for the sins of His people in the true in heaven, as it tells us in Hebrews. And then He came back over the course of 40 days and ministered to His church. And how do you do that? The Lord did. And you know what? When it was time, when He had done everything that they needed, instructed in that time, He went on to ascend and sit on the right hand of the Father where He is even this day, even this moment. And He sent the Spirit, the Comforter, to His church, to His churches. We have His presence here, although not physical, but just as real and just right here as they did. And there we have the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel. The gospel. So over here in Philippians 1:27, the apostle, our Lord, writes unto us, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. We talk about, the scripture talks about conversation. We've heard it, I tell you often, and it's so. It's what we do as we live here. Our conversation is how we think. And what we say and what we do. That's our conversation. Not just talking about speech. It's talking about what we think in our hearts and how we speak about that and what we do. And he says here, let your conversation be as it becometh. Something that is becoming, it promotes it, doesn't it? It says it's a good thing. It says it's right. It shines on it in a positive light, in a positive way, doesn't it? If it's not becoming, we would say maybe a simple word to describe it is it's ugly if it's not becoming. Becoming or not becoming is a nice way to say ugly or not ugly. And so our conversation, our way of life, our walk needs to be becoming. It needs to be good and right. It needs to be pretty. Not fake, genuine indeed, but it needs to be a fit with what? The gospel of Christ. It needs to be our conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. It's in line with it. The child of God's conversation needs to be becoming of our Savior's gospel. In Luke chapter 6, our brother read this morning and landed right on it. We're going to read it again here some in Luke chapter 6. I tell you what, if you didn't come to Sunday school this morning, you missed out. And I encourage you to come to Sunday school. Lord Jesus is here. He's promised to be with us. You get a blessing by being here. There's much teaching. We're blessed in our Sunday school classes. There's much teaching that goes on. There's much to learn, much to know out of this infinite book. Be here for Sunday school and learn about what your Lord and what He's done for you and what He's commanded us to do. In Luke chapter 6, verse number 43, where our brother read, he speaks about here, our Lord Jesus does, about trees. You don't go to an apple tree and expect to get briars. You don't go to a bramble bush and expect to get grapes. That's just the way that is. You and I know that. And that's the parable explanation about what's going on with us. Verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure, so there's a treasure in there, of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. We see her conversation, don't we? What's inside, like a treasure box, is cracked open. And if the wicked and the profane and the bad attitude and the nastiness and blasphemous and all that, the lying and the cheating and the conniving and the manipulation and all that's in that box, in that heart, that's what's going to come out. It's going to come out of the mouth, and it's going to come out in the action. We reveal ourselves. It's just that way. The Lord says here in verse 45, "For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." What is the abundance of my heart? What's the abundance of your heart? Well, what is that abundance? What's there? What's there? What's there in that treasure box of the heart? What does that abundance produce in my thinking, in my speech, in what I do? Is it natural? And natural is really not a good word to use, but I mean, is it ingrained? And indeed, in this flesh, we have the new man, the old man. We have this wrestling. We have this continual thing going on with us. You know what? If we're feeding the old man all the time, even as a child of God, that old man stuff will float right to the top of that treasure box of the heart and the conscience and everything. And that's how we'll operate. But if we feed the new man, that old man stuff will be pushed out of there. And that'll be what will come out of us in thinking and doing and speaking. In Matthew 15, our Lord speaks here about the heart. Matthew 15, verse number 19. Matthew 15, 19. "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts." So there it is. There's that thinking. There's that treasure chest inside. What's it full of? "Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts." That's where the thinking of murders comes from, and adulteries, fornications, thefts, and lying, false witness, and blasphemies against God. The Lord said those are the things that defile a man. And we see it there, from the thinking to the speaking to the doing, don't we? The conniving inside to the telling of a lie. The thinking inside to the committing of an adultery. The thinking and working inside to go and pursue a theft with our hands. Maybe speaking about that to others that would be confederate with us to do such wickedness. It comes from inside, doesn't it? In Mark chapter 7, verse 21, a parallel passage, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed these things, evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, and murders." How is it with our conversation? Does it line up with the gospel? Is it becoming of the gospel of Christ? Is the taking of God's name in vain, our Lord Jesus' name in vain, is that becoming of the gospel of Christ? That's not lining up with what Christ did there for us, is it? His faithfulness in that? His not sinning or getting off path about completing the gospel for our sakes? He didn't complete it for himself. He did the will of the Father in obedience. If I'm a thief, does that line up and match with the gospel? The death, burial, and the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ to be raised again and do those things for me? Does that line up? If I am an embezzler or a wicked man pursuing wicked device and the salaciousness of the world, does that line up with what Christ did? Wait a minute. If I'm involved with those things, that being a child of God, claiming to be a child of God, that I've been saved from, does that jibe with what has brought me forgiveness and righteousness? It doesn't, does it? When we gossip, we speak ill of folks and maybe look to malign them or whatever. I mentioned so many things. When we pursue life, when we pursue our life, and we must live life, we that have families, we have responsibility in that, and the Scripture's clear, that does take away from dedication to the Lord. But marriage is honorable and all. It's good to have a family. It's the Lord's design. He's made that. And so don't let that hurt your mind. It's better for someone to be single. They might give themselves fully to the Lord. But it's okay to be married and have a family too. But take that family and dedicate it to the Lord too. Is a becoming of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, Him fulfilling His death, burial, and resurrection, for me to take my work and let it consume me, where I have no time for the Lord at all in anything, or my education, or my hobbies, or my enjoyment? Is it for me to pursue self? And I'm all for, we need to learn. We've been given the capacity to learn and to gain and to pursue and do. But if I take those things and I do those over what the Lord has given for me to pursue, so many things we can pursue to distraction, and it displaces what the Lord has given us to do. Is that becoming, does that shine a good light on the death, burial, and the resurrection and the Lord's faithfulness to accomplish those things for me? It doesn't, does it? It doesn't at all. In Philippians chapter 4, in the same chapter, over a couple chapters, and as our theme verse for this in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 3, for consider Him. We need to look at Jesus and look at ourselves. We claim to be His child. We need to look at Jesus. Our conversation, does it need to be along these lines, the way the Lord's spoken to us and the things we brought out? No, it needs to be along this line. In Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8, verse number 6, let's back up to there. Be careful for nothing. That doesn't mean to be nonchalant and not diligent, not a good steward, but I tell you what, things aren't going the way you and I want it. We need to pray. We need to do what we can. We need to rest in our Lord. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue or power, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on that. You know what fills the bill for this? Our Lord Jesus and what He's done for us and how He helps us and blesses us and given us the relationships, the families, the church, the children, this provision for us that I trust we what would be becoming of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to take all that and return it unto Him. Amen? We've taken, directed all back towards Him, that He might be glorified. Think on these things, and rather than on those wicked things of the flesh. In Ephesians 5, Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18, it says here, "Be not drunk with wine, where is in excess the things of the world," and we can be drunk with the excess of anything in the world. He says, but be filled with the Spirit, rather. The Spirit in that treasure chest of the heart. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always, verse 20, for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. The fear of God is a right good thing. It's not speaking about terror. We don't have terror that the Lord as His children will come and destroy us. But we do need to fear Him. I think that we find a lot in our lives and in this day in which we live this culture, there's a little fear of the Lord. We need to fear Him. That fear is manifested when we just listen to what He says and take it and apply it to living. That's how that fear is shown. God said it. I just need to follow it. Me and my wife, we need to follow it. Me and my children and my home, we need to follow it. The Lord said it. We just need to follow it. We follow the Lord and His Word. Doesn't that shine a good light in His becoming of the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord has done those things, redeemed us, brought us from darkness to light, has shown us truth, set us free to be able to serve Him. That's what the liberty that we have is. And you know what? We do it. We obey it. We witness of Him. We stay away from the filth of the world and self and sin and that. Isn't that becoming? Doesn't that shine a wonderful light, a reflection on the gospel of our Lord Jesus? It does. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, the scripture says, "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." That we find there that glorifying of the Lord. What's there to glory in? Save the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. But what is there to rejoice in, save in what the Lord's done for us and has set us free to live for Him? To live for Him. To live your life where you are for Him. It says here in 1 Corinthians 14, take a look over here. We'll just march through the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians here. The apostle makes a couple things here, as I read to you in 1 Corinthians 10:31. Here in the book of 1 Corinthians, pardon me, speaking to this church, has a lot of troubles, has a lot of distractions. He says these things to them: do all to the glory of God. Chapter 14, verse number 26, he says this to us: "How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation? Let all things be done unto edifying." If we do all the edifying of one another in the church together, supplying that nourishment that every joint supplieth in the church, isn't that becoming of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Shines a wonderful light on it, doesn't it? It's had an impact on us. It's a witness unto others. In this same chapter, in verse number 40, he wraps this chapter up regarding gifts and such. In this order in the church, let all things be done decently and in order. If we are decent and we are orderly and in step with our Lord and His Word, it is becoming of the gospel of Christ. It shines a good light on it. We are witnesses. We can't change hearts. But I tell you what, we are the witnesses to people in this lost and dying world of whether the salvation of the Lord is worth it or not, whether it's good or not. And you and I, we have a sourpuss, run-down attitude, being shorted by God and God being an old skinflint that just wants to zap our good time kind of attitude, we won't be a witness of good things in Christ to anybody. And it's not becoming of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We'll be a joyous people. And we have problems. We have griefs. You know, in the joy and the grief, we look to our Lord. That's becoming of the gospel, to look to our Lord. The world and those around us see us petitioning the Lord for help. Let it all be done indecently and in order. He says here in chapter 16, verse number 14, let all your things be done with charity. I mean, loaded up with love with legs on it, right? Agape love. In Philippians chapter 2, take a look over here. He tells this church at Philippi in chapter 2, where we're at, where our text is for this morning. Look at Philippians 2, verse number 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. That's the church at Philippi. He's speaking to a church, to his children in his church. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke. And shine a good light, be becoming of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine, it'll cause us to shine as a light in this world. Let our conversation be becoming of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He goes on to say here in Philippians 1 and verse 27, he said, only, and so you focus on this one thing, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. He says that when I come and see you, I may witness that it is. Or be absent, may hear of your affairs. We've got those that are near us watching. We got those that are a ways away listening. Right? And what do they hear about Olmsted Baptist Church and her members? He says here, whether I come and see you or be absent, may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in that unity of the Lord, one Spirit, His Spirit, and one mind, one focus from the Word of God. What's it say here? Striving together. Not striving against one another, but making that push and wrestling together, what we see here, for the faithful, for the faith of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit and one mind, striving, wrestling, pushing forward, pressing towards the mark, as the Scripture tells us, together for the faith of the gospel. There it is, that faithfulness of the gospel. The faithfulness. Our Lord's gospel is faithful indeed. His death, burial, and resurrection is faithful indeed. He did so for His people, and you know what? He will take it and He will apply it to each and every one of them. As He told the Father, not one will be lost. Not one. It will be on target for everyone. And we have a responsibility as Lord's church and Lord's people to be a witness of our Lord Jesus' gospel unto sinners that they might hear. But we conclude with this verse and listen to it. It's a very short verse. 1 Corinthians 3:23. Let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ. That you stand fast in one spirit, in one mind, striving together for the faithfulness of the gospel, that we don't do harm to it, but we are in step with it. The Lord is faithful in His gospel, that His gospel is faithful, and we might be found supporting and being faithful to that. 1 Corinthians 3:23, what's it say here? And ye are Christ's, and Christ is God. When we see this name, Christ, you know what's rolled up into that? It is the one, our Lord Jesus. Christ is a title. Our Lord Jesus that fulfilled the gospel. That's what Christ declares. The Savior that did what needed to be done so He could save. He's got the wherewithal to save. Like it tells us in John 5. The Father has power to give life, and Jesus has the power to give life to whomsoever He will. And He goes on there in that chapter and says that by the hearing of the word of the Lord, sinners are saved. And by the hearing of the word of our Lord Jesus, sinners saved and sinners unsaved will be brought up to judgment. Let our conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Let us be found at our church here where the Lord's placed us. Be standing fast in the one Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit of God. One mind that we have from His Word and the instruction thereof, striving together for that faithfulness of the gospel. Because see, we're Christ's. Being saved, we belong to the one that fulfilled it. It's just reasonable for us to be becoming of that gospel. It's just reasonable for us to be found striving for it. Do you strive at your work? Do you strive in your hobbies to do well? Do you strive in your education to do well? those things are not bad unless they get in the way of us striving for the faithfulness of the gospel. And may the Lord help us that our hearts would be clear before Him in these things.